I ask you, Ryan S. Clark of The Athletic, the Avalanche reporter, why is MacKinnon deserving of this very, very prestigious award?
You know, it's an interesting question, is because you look at everything that he does to be a threat. It's the fact that he's a guy that on this season, if there'd been a full 82-game year, would have been on pace for more than 380 shots. The fact he led the league in primary assist and 5-on-5 play, but also it's that conversation point, too, about when you look at this team and the amount of injuries they had. So, of course, everybody knows how Gabriel Landeskog, Cale Makar, Mikko Rantanen in this game, but here's the thing. The gulf in points between Cale Makar and Nathan MacKinnon was so drastic that those 43 points by themselves would have been fifth on the Avalanche's scoring this year alone. So when you look at all those different factors, on top of just how Nathan MacKinnon can control the game, this is why he's in this position where right now it's between Leon Draisaitl himself and Artemi Panarin for who wins the heart.
When you take a look at MacKinnon's year, how much of an impact or not did Cale Makar on the back end help him out?
You know, it was interesting because on the back end it did, in the sense of when they were together in 5-on-5 sequences, you had another player that teams had to be, well, extremely aware of. And not only that, but just even when you look at what they did on the power play, and that's kind of the weird thing about this team, is like they've had guys play games, but when you look at what that first team power play unit could be, there were so many injuries, namely Mikko Rantanen only playing 43 times, that you didn't really get a chance to get a feel for how this would have looked. And with Rantanen and Makar, when everyone's healthy, those are your two primary facilitators. And so with Makar, he kind of had to learn not only when to facilitate and when to shoot, but you're doing this in a system where guys like Landeskog, MacKinnon, and Rantanen have been together for years. And while they've needed a middleman since Matt Duchene was traded away, they had Tyson Barrie back there. So it was getting used to not only a new facilitator at the point, but getting used to someone who they themselves are still trying to figure out the NHL in a lot of different ways.
Yeah, and you look at their back end. Like, I actually think the Avs have a really nice back end. And, you know, is their mobility underrated with Girard and Makar? Is there someone else I'm missing? But as a group, is their mobility as good as I feel it is?
You know, the thing is, when it comes to their mobility, everybody looks at those two. But then you look at someone like Ryan Graves, who this year went from a third-pairing defenseman who'd spent the last few seasons in the AHL to all of a sudden, he's a top-pairing defenseman with Cale Makar, who provides them 6'4", 226 pounds. He blocks shots. He hits. He does everything that you would want in a partner that allows a guy like Makar to go do what he needs to do. But then it's just when you look at the rest of that mobility. I mean, you look at what Eric Johnson's been doing in training camp. I mean, he was drafted number one for a reason. And when you see the skating, the way he's able to move and all that, it makes you look and go, okay, this is another piece you can use in that top four. Ian Cole had dual hip surgery. And it was something he and I talked about during the offseason. Well, not offseason, but during the pause, where he was like, you know, look, I worked my way back from kind of this soreness. But to now have some time away from it and feel less sore, I feel sharper and quicker and healthier when I skate. So those are five guys. And then when you look at Nikita Zadorov, you know, there have been times where it's been there and it hasn't. But the thing is, Makar and Girard lead that conversation. It's just a matter of what else they can get from those guys in the rest of the defensive rotation in terms of quickness that are going to make them even more formidable.
Joined by talking all things Avalanche with the Athletics Avalanche reporter, Ryan S. Clark, and he kind of gave us his opinion on MacKinnon, who's a very worthy candidate, as well as Draisaitl and Panarin for the Hart Trophy. You know, when this all shakes out, and assuming that everyone comes back and there's no unfit to play, what do you think the lines will stack up for the Avs?
Well, there are no Kentucky Thoroughblades, which I just had to make that reference.
How do you know that, Ryan? Were you there?
No, it's this thing called Elite Prospects, my man. It's such an interesting name. But to be serious, the way the Avs are looking is it's going to be hypothetically a little different, but some similarities than what you'd expect when everyone's fully healthy. So line one is going to be Andrei Burakovsky, Nathan MacKinnon, Mikko Rantanen. MacKinnon, Rantanen, they've got years of experience together. Burakovsky is this new piece, and what makes it interesting is MacKinnon has served as the F1 in this certain configuration, but for the longest time, it was Gabriel Landeskog. And with Landeskog, he was interior scorer, whereas if Burakovsky is more of a perimeter shooter, so how that's going to work, I mean, we've seen it in practice. It's a different look. It still gets goals, but it's just a different way of doing it. Line two would be Landeskog, Nazem Kadri, And Valeri Nichushkin, which you're talking about size and ability to check, a defensive commitment, all these things, plus the fact they can get to the interior. Line three would be Vladislav Namestnikov, JT Compher, Yannis Donskoy. Again, another line that can get to the interior. Between the three of them, at least 70% of each of their individual goals this year have come from the low slot as well as the net front. But the question there is, how will it work defensively? Because when you look at Yannis Donskoy, his numbers, when you look at high danger scoring chances for versus high danger scoring chances against, it's a severe minus. Whereas if the last four years in San Jose, it was like a plus 135 in that department when combined. In the fourth line of Belmar, Calvert, Nieto, it's a line that people felt when this team was healthy, and that can't be stressed enough, this could be one of the best fourth lines in hockey. But even then, who is that 12th forward? Is it Matt Nieto, or is it St. Albert's own Tyson Jost? And that's one of the questions the Avs have to get figured out before they start the postseason.
Geez, you know, it's a good lineup, and I really like this team. You know, when again, let's assume everyone's fit to play and everything looks. Is this a team you think that could make some noise as we work through our play-in then to the first round and on?
This is definitely a team that has the opportunity to, but it has to get a few things figured out. Yes, we talk about the 12th forward. You look at the defensive rotations, and those seem pretty much set. But goaltending is the real big one. Is it Pavel Francouz? Is it Philip Grubauer? Jared Bednar didn't name a number one. He said, we're going to use Camp in the exhibition game against the Wild in the round robin to kind of figure out who that is. But once those pieces get settled, you look at a team like this and you think they have four lines, they have a defensive unit, maybe they have some guys from the Black Ace squad that they can call up, like a Connor Timmins, who might be able to help on defense in terms of mobility, as well as goaltending. But then there's two things about this that make you wonder. The first is, while they're proven in a regular season, there's still a curiosity to see what this looks like in the postseason with a team that, look, just the last 2 years, they've barely gotten in, to now all of a sudden they're a wire-to-wire cup contender. What does that look like in the postseason? And then the second thing, and not being sardonic here at all, but it is 2020, and no one knows what's going to happen in the playoffs, let alone what's going to happen 3 hours from now. Because, again, as we saw last year, the Calgary Flames were the top seed in the West. Look what the Avalanche did. The Lightning, the playoffs were just a march to their coronation. They get ousted in the first round. So who knows what's going to happen?
Ryan, one of my favorite players in the NHL is Mikko Rantanen. How is the big Finn looking?
Dangerous. There was a sequence yesterday where Bednar paired McKinnon, Landeskog, and Rantanen together.
Oh.
I believe it was power play.
Jeez.
And it was one of those moments where they win the draw. You have Landeskog down low underneath the net. You have McKinnon would have been on the left, and Rantanen would have been on the right. And you have them sliding passes to the point where Landeskog plays this quick pass to Rantanen, who gets to one knee, and he fires it. And then they get the puck back, where Landeskog gets the puck. He slides it over to Rantanen, and Rantanen plays a centering pass to McKinnon. But if it's not for Vladislav Namestnikov getting his stick there at the right time, it would have been in contention for a goal. So Mikko Rantanen has looked healthy. He's looked strong. He's looked like a good skater. You can tell with his off-season work, he almost looks a little bit leaner as well. So that's how he's been performing in camp so far.
And what I think he brings to that team that, you know, Landeskog does a bit, but I don't think he has the same level of skill, is that just like Leon Draisaitl, Mikko holds off players and allows guys to get into position, then make passes. And no disrespect to McKinnon, I don't see him doing that as much. You watch all the games, but is that am I on the right track with Mikko Rantanen as one of his, I think, one of his top skills?
That's something a lot of people have said. So about this time, well, not this time last year, but my first season on the beat, so last year, I did a story about what makes Mikko Rantanen an elite playmaker. And whether it was guys like Mark Rycroft, who's an analyst here in Denver, talking to different players like Alex Pietrangelo, Blake Wheeler, they all said the same thing, which is with his 6'4", 220-pound frame, what makes him so dynamic is he's able to use that size to not only shield players off, but it allows him to hold on to the puck maybe an extra second to a half second longer than a smaller player, because you know he's built to take that contact, and that much time could just make the difference.
And Ryan, you know, as a former defenseman, what I can tell you is a guy like Forsberg did it, as you know, there in Colorado. And what makes me nervous, even if I'm not covering Rantanen, but I'm like, why is my guy not taking that puck away from Mikko Rantanen? Because now I've got to cover my guy longer, but then everyone else has a chance to get lost too. We know that sometimes centermen aren't the best at covering guys down low. So it just creates problems. It just gives that extra, it's like a quarterback, an extra second in the pocket. You're like, why isn't someone getting to him? It's just making it harder. So I think Rantanen, he's like I said, one of my favorite players in the league. There's two of them, him and MacKinnon, but what he brings to that team and what he can do on whatever line he ends up, I believe, if I'm correct, last year in the playoffs, he was carrying his own line for a while, I think. He wasn't with the two big guys, if I'm right, and he just dominated those defensemen for Calgary.
Well, there was a time where Bednar did switch up, but at the same time, there were points where he did go back to those three, because that was kind of the damn if you do, damn if you don't situation with the Avs, which is you keep them together, you know what you're getting, but then it's if you break them up, maybe they can each sort of drive their own line, or one of them can drive a line. So you saw that, but what you saw out of Ronson is exactly what you said. It's this whole idea of you have to make a choice. Do you give him the time and space and plan for that, or do you try to attack him knowing that with everything he has, the minute you come at him, there might be an opening that he sees that all of a sudden leads to a pass that puts whoever's on the other end in a really strong position to score. And if not score, maybe they see someone else that they can distribute to. And it's a secondary assist, but at the same time, it's the whole idea of for every action, there is a reaction. So again, you know better than anyone when it comes to the playoffs and when it comes to just this time of year. Well, strangely, this time of year, because this time of year, usually everyone's working out or playing golf. But when it comes to the postseason or late season in general, it's all about timing and space, which is why games that are all of a sudden 6-4 become 2-1.
Ryan, great insight, and I can't wait to see this starting up. I know everyone's getting excited now. We're a week away from games, and then all hell's going to break loose. So thanks for your breakdown. Let's see how this plays out, because like you said, I don't think anyone really knows what's going to happen, because it's a brand new season. We're right into the playoffs.
No, absolutely. So it'll be fun to see. But again, thank you so much for having me. I really do appreciate it.